Hello and welcome to StrungeCast episode 59.
The keyboard that hates me.
Yeah. Strange title. A bit like Fascinated by Cheese. You'll find out why later. How are you doing, my love?
I'm all right. I'm absolutely exhausted, but yeah. I had the best couple of days with my bestie.
Tell me about that. Tell us about that.
So Kelly, my bestie, and Georgina, who's her sister-in-law, who I also love.
They're both really great.
They're both like the best people. And they live in Leeds. So they came down for a couple of days.
Not even 30 seconds into the podcast and Georgina will hear her name.
Yeah.
In a year's time.
You've converted her. You've got her on to listen. So when she eventually gets around to it. And we had the best couple of days. It went ridiculously fast, but it was lovely. We just did all the things that we used to do, which is basically spending the day at Westfield, the big shopping centre, if you don't know, and eating food and chatting. And yeah, it was just super, super nice.
That's a great way to spend the week, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great. What about you?
Well, on Saturday, I took Jake to a little event in a library. And I was asked to make a track with a bunch of people that are not professional singers, but one that was a professional singer, and she was guiding everybody. So that was fun. We did go a long, long way, though. It's about 14 kilometers all told.
It's far, isn't it?
It was far. Jake, my little helper. So we took my keyboard and my amp and my stand in the back of an Uber.
I just have to say as well, I think Jake was massively out of his comfort zone, he said, for this. Because he got roped into doing it as well.
He did.
And he just expects when he goes to these things that he sits there, he listens to you and the other musicians and stuff. And, you know, he just sort of chills out. But he got completely included, not off of his own back.
He wouldn't have done.
Into part of it. And he said it was very much like an English lesson.
Yeah.
Because of what you were discussing and stuff. But yeah, I think he deserves a massive round of applause for that because it was so not what he wanted to be doing.
Nope.
But he didn't make a fuss. He didn't, you know.
Well, he wouldn't have been roped into it if my godmother, Catrice, had not made him do it. She came because I told her about this event. It was like a free but ticketed event. And so she came down and sat next to him and just made him participate.
Yeah. Bless him, poor thing.
He survived.
I feel for him because of course he did, and he's Jake, he'll just get on with it, but I know he wouldn't have wanted to have done any of that, but
nope,
he's okay.
He's all right.
He is all right.
And then, you know, I mean, with non-professional singers, the vocals are a little unusual. I'm not going to say anything bad about them because that's not really the point.
No.
But I got to build a track on the fly in 2.5 hours, essentially, from scratch. With no idea when I walked into the room what we were going to end up with at the end of the day. I also had to record the singers on my laptop. So I was engineering the session, making the track, working on it, and trying to mix in real time and everything. So it was a bit of a difficult thing to work in. And also the environment is not like this living room where it's clean and I've got control over the entire background. It's a library. It's echoey. Definitely not ideal.
Mm.
But I did it and we had fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been my week, honestly. And then, obviously, reconnecting with Kelly and Georgina was lovely. And yeah. Georgina is like the podcast queen, listens to loads of stuff.
More sporty podcasts. Yeah.
But she does cautionary tales like we do and a couple of the other things. And she said that she would listen from the beginning. And I say you don't have to because it's anthology, this podcast. But she said she would. So she won't make it to this 59th episode for a good long time yet. But no. Still, we shall see.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's been a very quiet YouTube experience the last few episodes. There are views, and that's fine, but there are no comments. So we don't know if anybody got the quiz in their head and just didn't say it out loud.
It was a bit of a random one.
Yeah, it was.
So it was, in which state is it against the law to tie a giraffe to a street lamp or telephone pole?
I'll just pick a random state and say Idaho.
No, it's actually Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the behinds. I probably should have researched that, but I just thought that was amusing, because the idea that you're just going to be walking down the road with your giraffe, but
it's a guide giraffe.
Yeah, you know, that's okay. You can walk down the street with your giraffe. You just can't tie them to a street lamp.
Okay then.
So this is a true or false question.
Might should be easier.
Yeah. So true or false, a jiffy is an actual unit of time.
I've always wondered that. Ooh. It's also jiffy bags.
Yeah, there are jiffy bags. We say, I'll see you in a jiff. See you in a jiffy.
Yes.
So yeah, true or false.
And it used to be jiff and the bang is and the dirt is gone, I think. Or something. No, that was sif and jiff, isn't it? There's.
I think it was sif, and now they've changed it to jiff.
Did they?
I think. Or it's definitely changed.
It did change.
For European. I thought it used to be sif and then it's changed. I don't know, it could be wrong, but I thought it was sif.
This is a cleaning product that we have in the UK for cleaning bathrooms and kitchens,
I think. It became, like, it went into Europe and that was why they changed it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure the reason. There was a whole thing. I remember reading an article. I just can't remember why, to be honest.
Weirdness.
Yeah.
So then, this week's topic, apart from the title, it's sort of, you know, it's Halloween when you guys hear this, unless you're a YouTube member, in which case you hear it the day before. But happy Halloween if you celebrate or do anything fun. But yeah, this week's topic is, well, what do you think?
About Halloween?
And stuff.
I mean, Halloween is fine. I think it's very, very different, isn't it, from when we were kids. It was much smaller when we were kids. You might go trick-or-treating up and down your road.
I never did this.
Did you never go?
Nope.
Is that because you didn't want to, or your mum didn't want you to, or what was the...
I didn't even know it was a thing until years later. I just never did.
She got away with that.
She did.
We did a little bit, just because the primary school that I went to, everybody kind of lived quite close.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might get together with a couple of friends and we would go with the parents, but not that many times. And honestly, the things that I remember most about dressing up and stuff was we'd wear a black bin bag as like a witch's dress. And have these stick-on finger things that would go over the tips of your fingers for long nails. And a witch's hat. Or, you know, a tail and some ears for a cat or something. That was the extent. It wasn't, I don't think, how it is now. Maybe I just don't remember it the same. But now I think it's much bigger, isn't it? Particularly where we live. Not our little road bit. No one really does it because it's all... like blocks of flats, so no one really does that. But because we're quite near to Queen's Park and St. John's Wood and things like that, where there are, you know, a lot of Americans.
But that's really what I was like going to say next as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of Americans, so they do it quite big.
It's bigger out there.
It is much
bigger in the
States.
And
in Queen's Park especially, which is quite close to us, I know the kids' friends all lived up there and they would always, you know, the houses were always decorated. They would always go around and things. We've never done it with our kids. It's never been a thing that they've been particularly interested in or I've particularly wanted to take them to.
No.
So I don't really mind it. I just think it can be a bit overrated.
I never wanted, I mean, thinking about it now, looking back, I don't think it would be the kind of thing I would want to do. Knocking on people's doors that most of the time would be angry at you for doing so? Nah.
I mean, it depends on what spin you put on it. When you have a road where, you know, a lot of people are celebrating and people put pumpkins out and decorations and you have like more of a community feel.
Yeah.
So
maybe,
you know,
if there's a sign in your front yard that you don't mind being bothered.
Well, that's how it's become now, is if there is a pumpkin in the front garden then it, or any kind of decoration like that,
yeah,
then... you know, you're inviting people to come. No pumpkin, no decoration, nothing. Because I remember when we moved Hicks, we used to live in a block of flats, so nobody would come. And then when we moved here, I used to always make sure that we had some sweets just in case anybody did come, because I would feel awful saying no. But because we never, ever put anything in the garden or put anything out, no one's ever come. So I think it is much more recognised. You're not just knocking on random strangers. It would be
It's like a respect thing then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because also I think people have realised that it can be really scary for older people or perhaps people who are more vulnerable.
Yes, can.
To have particularly older children going around, you know, wearing all kinds of costumes, just appearing on their doorstep. That can be really scary, really terrifying if they don't understand what's going on or, you know.
Absolutely.
So I think it is more widely known. You don't just
tell us about it from the US point of view, though, because there are enough people out in the States that, you know, listen to this. I'd love to know what it's like out there and if it was something you always did, if it's something that you now do with your family, if you get trick or treated yourselves, because it does feel like Halloween is much, much more of a deal out there than here.
Yeah.
So I really want to hear about that.
When you look at social media and things, there's lots of TikTok videos. I actually saw one the other day. I don't know which state it's in, but it's called The Burning House. And they have this effect on the whole front of the house that makes it look like it's on fire.
Hmm.
It's like in the windows and then there's smoke coming out of the top. And it's really clever, but it looks so real that every year the police get quite a few calls about it because it just looks like a house on fire.
I'm intrigued.
But I think it's sort of become a thing that within the community, everybody knows, oh, that's the burning house. Like that's, I'll have to try and find it and I can show it to you. But yeah, you know, people come from around, you know, they drive to come and see that house. And I guess then the police know about it and things, but.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right.
Big thing.
So I was going to have you tell, and I've got one as well, a couple. Sort of supernatural stories, given the day it is. Because you told me when we first got together a couple of things that happened to you when you were younger, and they intrigued me.
Well, one story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told you another one that I can't remember. But again, because we always have this conversation, don't we, about whether we believe in ghosts, the afterlife, spirits, whatever you want to.
Right.
To call it. And we're both quite open, aren't we?
Yeah.
I would say. To
the way I see it, right, is if we believe in alien life, right? Anybody, mm-hmm. not just us, but if you believe in alien life, as in we cannot be the only sentient life forms in the entire universe.
Or at least
universe,
the possibility.
Yeah, the possibility is
yeah,
fine.
The possibility.
Then why not spirits too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around it. And I think there's a lot of people that will say, oh, well, because I can explain that away and, you know, this is just your imagination, and they can prove that actually it wasn't a ghostly experience. They think they can prove everything away.
Yeah.
But
power to you if you can. Cool.
But you can't. Some things can't be explained, and some things that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So I think we're really open to the fact. I don't think I've ever had a really, really spooky experience with anything like that.
No.
But that doesn't mean, you know, I think I'm a bit more of a, to truly believe something, I need to experience it.
Yeah.
So
actually, there are two experiences I can think of. The one that you're going to tell us, and then there's another
one. Your story?
No, yours.
Oh, mine.
Something that happened to you in this house.
Happened to me in the house.
Just after Mum died, you were trying to find something. I don't know if it was a slipper or a needle or something. And you found the needle in the slipper.
I don't remember that.
You told me.
My mind is horrible. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. For some reason, you were trying to find a sewing needle or something and you couldn't. And there would be no reason for it to have appeared where it was.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
So I do remember you telling me that.
I don't remember that one. So the one that I do remember, because it's always stayed with me.
Yeah.
Is about my grandpa. And he had a flat here in London and a flat in the south of France. And when he used to split his time between the two. So when he was out there in France, I used to, when I was like a teenager, I used to go and pick up his post, and because he'd be gone for like 6 months at a time, I would pick up his post and send him. He had a fax machine, which feels really
old
now.
That is so cool. And you just reminded me of Friday night dinner.
Yeah, I know. So he had a fax machine, and I used to fax him through like any of his things and whatever. And he passed away at like the beginning of the summer. So it was quite early on. And later, like a couple of weeks after, my mum, my aunt and my sister and I went to the flat in France to go and like sort things out and everything. And before I went there, or before we all went there, I kept having this recurring dream again and again. It was the same every night, and it was exactly the same. And he kept telling me that the flat was a mess. And I assumed he was talking about the flat here, but he kept saying, the flat is a mess. You need to clean it up. You need to clean it up. And he was really angry. He was getting really angry with me in the dream. Like, you need to clean it. It's dirty. You need to clean it. And when we, and I couldn't figure out what this was about, but when we got to the flat in France, because of the way that everything had worked out, and because his bank account had been frozen, all his bills hadn't been paid and the electricity had been switched off, the fridge and freezer had defrosted, and there was just water and mess and stuff all over the kitchen floor.
Oh, it's so gross.
And it, yeah, it was just a big mess for us to come into in the middle of the night, which was not nice, but yeah. And of course we cleaned it up and everything, and I never had that dream again. Now obviously I know that that is probably just a really huge coincidence. I just had this random dream and stuff. But him telling me to clean is never anything that he ever did. So it's not like I had that memory in my head to conjure up. I had no idea that there would be any mess or anything. So it just, it's just very strange.
It doesn't have to be a coincidence, all right?
No.
It can just be what it is.
Yeah,
you don't have to explain it away.
No, I don't. Yeah, it was a very strange thing. And there were times, not for a long time actually, where I would dream about him again. And again, it would be consecutive. It would be every single night until, so he bought me a ring years and years and years ago when I was, I don't know, 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And if I wore that ring the next day, then I would stop having the dreams.
Interesting.
And I just always kind of felt like that was his way of saying, well, don't forget about me.
Yeah.
You know, again, you say I don't need to explain it away, and I don't at all. It probably is just that I'm thinking about him, and then I, you know, put the ring on, and then I've thought about him, so my brain is okay with it.
You've done your bit now.
Yeah. But it did always feel like he was just sort of saying, don't forget.
No, that's fair. Absolutely.
But yeah, I think those are the certainly that I can.
There's one remember. More that you told me of, staying alone, well, with a friend in a dark
house. Yeah, that wasn't anything specific that happened, but that house.
Yeah.
My friend used to dog sit, and we and babysit for this. No, Penny. Penny's getting involved. And they had this huge. I mean, it was like a manor house in Norfolk, and they were redoing it because parts of it hadn't been touched for like 200-300 years. I mean, it was insane.
That's crazy to think about.
So they just had like a couple of rooms that they used, but it was absolutely ginormous. And so when you would go up the first lot of stairs, which were okay.
Yeah.
And then there was like an average bathroom, and then you would have to go across like basically a boarded corridor to get to the bedroom where we were staying. And it was all the way down the other end of the house. I mean, it was just insane that they would stay for weeks at a time in this house. But there were no lights between the two. And in between, there was more staircases that led up to the third floor, up to the next floor, mm-hmm. where it was completely untouched. There was nothing, there was attics. And I just remember we stayed there, and there was no way. I could never have stayed there now because I get up to go to the bathroom so many times at night. But there was no way that any of us, because I think three of us stayed there at one point, were going to the bathroom in the night, because
no chance.
You were not going by yourself. So yeah, that house was absolutely terrifying. And I don't think anything particularly happened. We heard noises and stuff like that, but it's such an old house.
They make noises.
Exactly. Any house makes noises anyway, but that kind of house would have made noises anyway. So nothing particularly scary happened. It was just the idea of coming out of the room and it being this long, dark, empty space with staircases coming off it. I mean, it's just terrifying. The thought of it just makes me... ugh. No.
Yes. So, of course, after this podcast airs, it will have already been Halloween. But that's no reason for you not to tell us your unusual stories. Definitely want to hear them because they're always interesting. It doesn't matter the time of year. Tell us anyway. Just pretend it's a campfire or something.
Oh, we love a spooky story.
Definitely.
Definitely love.
I mean, we listened to that whole ghost story podcast.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely tell us if you have had any unusual experiences. I want to hear. So the one experience I'm going to tell you about anyway is very simple, actually. It must have been very deep in the winter. So I had a fan heater on in my bedroom at my mum's place. I was still very young and I was getting dressed for bed. And I just remember there was this warm hand on my shoulder and it just... about a second or two, and then it just disappeared. And it didn't scare me. It was like, I'm here. And you don't need to worry. I still don't know to this day who or what they were, who they were or what they were trying to tell me. But a lot of kids that might have that experience might run to the mum or something or to the parents. But I didn't. I knew that I didn't need to. This wasn't going to be like a reoccurring thing that was going to freak me out. It never did.
Well, they do say that kids particularly... sort of like, you know, really little, are much more open to seeing things and having experiences.
It's because they haven't been jaded by the world yet and told that things don't exist.
True.
I mean, Christmas is a prime example, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, there you go.
Everything about Christmas is totally 100% real.
Sure. And I think that's part of it.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, when I was at boarding school, we did have an old house. One of the places we lived in for a year or two was a big old house. And when it was quiet, when there were very few people in, it did feel a little spooky. But not like I can't go to the bathroom in the middle of the night spooky.
Yeah.
But it just was big, you know. It was a three-floor place. Lots of rooms on each floor. A sunken bathroom in the master bedroom.
Jeez.
I loved that bath.
That sounds amazing.
It was really nice.
There's always that thing when you're a kid. I don't know if this would have applied to you, whether you would have been scared anywhere. But I remember in our house, like if you were going up the stairs on your own.
Yeah.
And it was dark downstairs. So like if the house had been, you know, put to bed, as my mum used to say.
Yes, I know what
you mean. Would like race up the stairs really, really quickly because then if there was anything, it wouldn't get you.
Actually, yeah, you just reminded me, and I think I've told this story in a previous episode, actually, but my nan used to have a house in Kent, which is kind of the countryside, outskirts of London, really. And it was the old pull chain, you know, bathroom, the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Really high tank. And because the pipe between the tank and the bowl is very, very long, water pressure was just huge, right?
Yeah.
So every time you pull that thing, it roared like some kind of animal. No. So I don't know what time it was, but it was late. I was staying there, me and her. My mum was at home. I'd been taken away for the weekend. And the thing is, her front door opened straight onto a road. And it was a dark, long road, especially at night. And at that time, you just hear a lot of trucks, you know, freight and whatever. So it could have just been that. But I tell you, one day I went downstairs to go bathroom. It was very cold and I was shivering in my pajamas. I pulled the chain and it's already loud. And I thought I just heard this thing coming up behind me. It was going to scare me senseless. Aww. And it was probably just the truck outside because the door, I'm pretty sure it wasn't double glazed. So you could always hear traffic.
Yeah.
So that combined with the loudness of the toilet scared the bejesus out of me. And I just ran upstairs, like you said, because if it was going to get me, then it had to go through her first. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm done. And I hightailed it back into bed. I shut that door and that was it. I was under the covers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that freaked me out. I don't know what I did after that. If I had to go, maybe I just didn't flush it till the morning. I don't know. But honestly, it scared me. And I was little and I was like, I'm not doing that again.
No.
And it was weird because, you know, the bedrooms are upstairs, the bathroom's downstairs. So you had to go down. You couldn't just stay on the same floor.
Mm.
And you're alone down there and it's big.
Yeah, it's scary when you're little.
Very.
I remember being little and I didn't used to like playing in my room on my own.
That was Alice for a bit.
So, you know, like my mum and dad would be downstairs. I would always take my toys and go and play in the living room.
And your place is big. It's two floors below, isn't it? It's not just one floor.
No, when I was in the smaller bedroom, so when I was little.
Yeah.
So I was only one floor up, but
it's the whole house just difference.
Yeah. And when it's, you know, like a winter's evening when it's really dark outside.
Yes.
So it's only, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock or, you know, a Saturday afternoon or something. Mum and dad would be downstairs. I didn't used to like playing upstairs.
You just reminded me of this similar thing. Do you remember my mum's hallway was like the longest hallway in the world?
Yeah.
The bathroom was at the other end from the living room.
Mm.
So it felt like I was the only person in the entire world.
Yeah.
So when they would send me to go brush my teeth at night and they would be watching, you know,
you
a scary
like
film
got to
or
go
the news.
So far.
Yeah, on my own. I hated it.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
see,
man.
In those situations, I don't know whether it's worse because I could see if there were shadows or things and probably make up images because I'm scared. You can't see.
Nope.
So do you then imagine or make up that things are there or like you're more in tune to the sounds? Like, I don't know which. Probably both as bad.
They're both as bad, trust me. Because when you walk up from that bathroom and the front door is behind your back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have walked up the hall backwards like a weird person. But I didn't. And I was just thought, you know, someone could creep in the front door behind me and get me.
Yeah.
And it was a long walk, believe me. That passage is very long.
Yeah. Especially when you're little.
Even. Feet. Yep. I remember that. In the daytime, it was great. I used to kick a ball up and down it, play frisbee. But yeah, when you think of a long hallway in a house, whatever you're thinking of, think probably twice that.
That's scary.
Yes. Oh dear.
So are we going to move on to the topic of this?
Do it.
Episode?
Do it, do it.
Well, you can explain it because it's your story.
All right. The entire title of this episode stems from an experience I had in the same house with the long passage. One, I want to say Saturday afternoon, but it could have been any day. I don't remember because I was much younger. Everybody's out, and I was given one of these old, I believe, Soviet-era keyboards. I couldn't swear to it, right? Because I'm not 100% sure the make. But it was a double manual keyboard with pedals and a big speaker underneath the keyboard that everything connected to. And it was flat on top. This is important. It was flat on top, not sloped. Okay? Now we have a story for you about this keyboard. Read for you by Kirsten Louis.
I do just have to apologise if I trip over my words because I'm not always great. And also my voice is still a bit funny from this cold I've had. So
that's okay.
I'm apologising in advance. So the keyboard that hates me. I live in London. At the time this tale starts, it was the mid-90s and I was living stereotypically in my mother's basement. I've been a long, lifelong musician and have had various keyboards in my lifetime. Back then, I was quite young, perhaps 12 or 13, maybe a little older, but not much. I was gifted one of those old double manual organs from a time gone by, which sadly broke somehow, not quite sure why. I mean, it was old, so I suppose it was bound to happen at some point. I liked it very much, though, so my then stepfather went on a hunt to find me something else, which he did. This rather different beast arrived in the house one day and it felt strange in a way I can't to this day put my finger on. All I knew was when I played it, I got a bad feeling. Even writing this out now gives me a bit of a shiver over my shoulder. What I remember about it is this. It had a floor standing keyboard unit, and underneath that was a speaker that was not attached to it, other than via the cable used to connect both parts. The speaker was flat, and I used to store things on top of it, as it was quite roomy, and thus great as a bit of extra storage. My room was quite small. One day, everyone was out of the house. I think it was a Saturday, so my mum was probably shopping, and my stepdad was somewhere else, leaving me alone at home. I felt like playing a few ideas on the keyboard, so I pulled up a chair, sat down, and began to play. It was in the middle of the room against the right-hand wall as you walk in. That meant that when I sat down, the door was to my right and the window to my left. The window led into our back garden. Pretty much from the moment I decided to play, I felt extremely unsettled, as if I were being watched, judged, and disliked intensely. Now, being totally blind, I can only imagine what this feels like, but if you've ever been stared at across a room or perhaps on a bus or train from someone you knew was either having a bad day or just hated you on sight, that was what it felt like. It was very disconcerting. And then something happened that decided me on ever playing the keyboard again. I previously mentioned that I used the speaker for storage. At the time this happened, there was a universal adapter in a box on top of the speaker. You know, one of those heavy things that have interchangeable heads, and you have to use a screwdriver to change the voltage. This was an industrial one, not one of those cheap Walmart types. It was heavy. I mean, it would take a lot to move it. It was fairly far back on the speaker, and I remember that I'd stopped playing as I felt unsafe, and I turned to my left, as that's where the feeling was coming from, and I said, "What's wrong? What have I done to upset you? Should I stop playing?" Words to that effect, anyway. What happened soon after that was this very heavy universal adapter in its box falling directly on my foot. Now, you could argue that the vibration of me playing made it slide towards the edge and fall off, perhaps. I've thought about that in the intervening years. But as that happened, I guarantee you I was not playing a single note. As old equipment was built like a tank back then, it's not that the unit was unsteady, wobbly, etc. So for the box to move and fall on its own without any help, that just felt wrong. I immediately shouted in fear, jumped back from the keyboard, switched it off, and put my radio on. I think I even unplugged it. You might think that sleeping in a room with this thing would scare me, but it didn't. So long as I didn't play it, it didn't hate me. It's literally what I felt like. As soon as I play it, I felt at risk. I have no explanation for any of this, only that it very definitely happened and has stuck with me all these years. I told my mum and stepdad when they got back. What they thought of, I honestly don't remember, but I pretty much begged them to get rid of it, which they eventually did, and that feeling has never happened again since. I would only conclude that perhaps the previous owner was not a fan of my playing, fair enough, and wanted the keyboard to go somewhere else.
That's my story.
That is my story.
I mean, reading that, hearing it back, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
I remember how I felt. It freaked me out then, freaks me out now.
I'm not surprised.
The piano doesn't. And I think, you know, I sadly believe that Anne probably has passed away. I've not been able to get hold of her for years at this point.
Anne is the lady that our current piano came from.
Yes. Yeah. And that was, you know, nearly 10 years ago. No, eight. No, it was 10.
No,
we moved
in
2015.
It was, yeah, the year. We've been here 10 years coming up.
And I
up.
Think she was 83 then.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or something. So I've tried to ring her several times and it either rings out or something. So I just have no way of knowing. I did dream about her once.
But either way, I still feel like the energy of this piano is, it's a homely energy. There's warmth in it. There's nothing negative.
Beautiful sound as well. Yeah. And because she specifically wanted me to have it, so I don't feel bad when I play it.
No.
So, you know, she'd be happy when I do.
But that one back in the day.
Oh, hell no.
Gave you bad vibes.
Not going near that again. It was so creepy, honestly. Mm. Just very weird. I'm glad not to have it. I don't know where it went after that. I never did ask. But no, gone.
Far away.
For moi. So, is it time for strange news?
It is time for strange news. And I've gone for a more lighthearted one. So, you know.
Yeah.
not to scare after us that. Anymore. This is about a father who works in a water park in Russia who broke in overnight with his son to give his son a memorable 11th birthday party treat.
Oh, wow.
So the pair were caught on the security cameras splashing around in the pools and swimming and using all the water slides. Obviously, because no one else is there.
Nope.
So they just had free run of the water park. But what's really sweet is his boss obviously saw all of this because, you know, it was caught on the cameras, didn't fire him and just said, we do not dismiss the employee. We looked into his situation, tried to understand why he acted this way. His motive was a simple human desire to create an unforgettable moment for his child, to give him an experience he will happily remember for many years.
That's really nice.
And I just thought that was so nice because a lot of employers might not have taken that stance on it.
No.
Because, you know, he did break in and it safety and all kinds of things. But I think it's a nice story.
It is a nice story.
Yeah.
Well, there, so we, there are. We go. Good one, I think.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy this madness. And yeah, tell us your stories, trick-or-treating and any unusual energies or experiences that you've had over the years.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, story.
When you, yeah, definitely. When you hear about other people's, it brings out things that you've probably forgotten about or blocked out because you just didn't want to think about it. Or you had them as a child and you thought, nah, no one would ever even consider that. But no, there isn't an explanation for everything out there. And actually, I think that's quite, I think we live in such an interesting world, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're new, welcome. If you're not new, welcome back. Thanks for listening, as always, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This station is Tooting Beck. This is a Northern Line train via Bank terminating at Hibernic.